I tell you, if it can be a disaster, it'll happen to you. I don't know how you attract all those things, but you seem to. I hate it for you, but I wouldn't know what would cause it to do that either, but I've never heard of that. Joy has got her mother's recipes and most of my mother's recipes, and some of those are that way, you know, just a pinch of this and a dab of that. And Joy seems to understand what a pinch and a dab and a dollop and all that stuff is. And if I had to try to figure it out, I'd be lost, no doubt in my mind about that. But that's a good thing that she knows it, because she is the chief cook and I'm the bottle washer.
That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Probably safe that you're there. But the other thing I was going to tell you was, so I got to order my Christmas. You know, I give her a list. And I ordered a whole bunch of electrical components because I've been, you know, studying up with things and trying my best to learn. And learned a pretty good lesson today with a power transistor. Had no idea that they got that hot if you don't wire them right. And I'm, you know, checking voltages and this, that, and the other. And, I mean, it was working, but I kept smelling something. And I looked down, and I saw the breadboard was starting to melt. So I thought, what is that? So I reached down and touched the transistor, the power transistor, and it left about a 3/8. I got a 3/8 blister on my hand. It's 2102. LN 2102. And, you know, hey, it kind of matters with polarity. This second time I've had a capacitor blow up a couple weeks ago. And today I learned a lesson with power transistors. So I'm going to have to start paying a little bit more attention to polarity because it definitely matters.
When you're first learning, you let a lot of that magic smoke out, and that's what you've done. And, you know, you think about those power transistors and things, and you wonder why in the world they have them big old heat sinks on the back of there. You know, I don't know what those are for, but I think it's to cool things down a little bit. And, oh, gosh, I don't know. I've blown up all kinds of stuff when hooking things up and trying this and trying that just for giggles. You know, I said, I wonder what'll happen if we do it this way, you know, and lo and behold, it don't work that way. You know, you look at the schematic and it tells you one thing and you say, well, I wonder if I can do it this way, you know, trying to change somebody's ideas. Sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't. But I hate that you did that. Sorry you got a blister on your hand. But I bet that'll be a lesson that you won't forget quickly.
Here's what happens. Here's where I get in trouble. Is that I've got a variable power supply in here that I can control the voltage and the current. And I'll usually build the circuit and test it. And then I'll start running the voltage up, trying to measure the output to see, you know, how much it can handle, what it's, you know, trying to learn all I can learn. And, you know, I don't really know where the outer limits are. I just kind of crank the voltage up and start measuring. And then that's where things usually go awry. I get them too hot, trying to learn too fast, I guess. But at any rate, I got a big blister there on my right hand. And the third thing I was going to tell you was, let me let my radio drop. Anna bought me a drone for Christmas. It was not an expensive one. It was just, it's pretty cheap just to try to learn with. my intentions was to use it to inspect the antenna at the repeater site for the club, so I wouldn't have to climb the tower. So I decided I'd, you know, experiment with the camera and took the drone above the house and was going to take some images of the house. And it kind of drifted over the chimney, and we burned firewood, and I'm not sure exactly what happened. I guess it got caught up in that chute of warm air, and it just kept going up and up and up. And at any rate, long story short, last time I saw it, it was about 500 feet headed due north, and I could not control it. I could not bring it back home, anything. So if you know anybody that needs a controller, let me know. I don't have the drone with it because the Lord only knows where it is, but it's, you know, it's gone. I was sick about it for a couple of hours, but there ain't nothing I can do, so we might as well laugh about it.
How good is that you lost your drone? Maybe we'll get Dave and Steve and some of them guys that fly those things, and we'll get up there to your place and get them off the ground and headed in that direction and let them use their cameras. Maybe you can find it. I hate that happened to you. But there's a couple of things that could have happened. It could have hit that warm air draft and went, you know, that gave it a lot of lift really quick, you know. Cold air, they don't lift off too good, but warmer air, they lift off a whole lot easier. And they take on off that way. But depending on how hot the air was, it could have screwed up the reception on the controller there messed up your controls. That's another thing that might have happened. You know, I'm just surmising here. I'm like these archaeologists. I don't know anything. I'm just guessing. But gosh, I hate that you did that. I'm just, let's see. We hadn't heard anything on the news, I guess, about a car running into a drone. So I guess you're safe as far as that goes. So it's probably in somebody's yard or a dog's found it and chewed it up, or maybe it's stuck up the top of a tree someplace.
I was telling, one of the guys in the club about it, and because I was really disappointed because, you know, like I said, I had plans on using it for a specific purpose. And first thing he asked me was, well, did you have your call sign on it, or did you write your name on it? And I said, no, I didn't think about that. And he just said, Chad, you should have thought about that. But I didn't. You know, I kind of got in a hurry. And, it's got a little button on it that just, you know, says go home or come home. And, you've seen me out pushing that thing. I bet you I pushed that thing 500 times. Come on. And it just wouldn't do it. And then all of a sudden I lost the link lights, and then it started beeping. And like I said, last time I saw it was about 500 feet headed due north. I think the battery lasts, I don't know, maybe 5 to 8 minutes. I don't know. So there's no telling where it is, Gary, but there's nothing I can do about it. It's just, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I really do. I'm sorry that you only got to play with your toy for just a few minutes. But at least you got it up off the ground and you didn't run it into a pine tree. I guess that was a good thing.
I did good with it. I thought this is going to be a nightmare. But I did what little bit I got to fly it. I did good. I was thinking today I still kind of sick about it. You know, you ever been in one of those situations where you just make a poor decision and all is lost and there's nothing you can do but just kind of accept the fact that you made a dumb decision. Well, sometimes you try to find ways to laugh about it to make it easier. And so Daddy gave me a little .22 rifle for Christmas. And I told Anna today, I said, what I would have done was got the stupid drone up to about 50 feet and then went in there and got the .22 rifle that Daddy gave me for Christmas and target practice with the rifle, with the thing, shooting at the drone. I would have got a whole lot more use out of it that way, but, you know, I didn't do that either. So I guess I'll take my electrical components and my .22 rifle, and that's just going to have to get me by till next year, I guess.
Screaming monkey now. If a dog lets you live that long. Well, I hate it that happened to you. I really do. But, you know, those things happen. It could have happened, for who knows, all kinds of different reasons, I guess. Maybe there was another child out there controlling a drone, and they were on the same radio frequency, and all of a sudden it just, his controller took over. You don't ever know what's liable to happen when that happens. But I don't know that that's, I'm sure it can probably happen, but I don't know that it has or does, at least very often. But I don't know, Anna buying you that drone and your dad giving you the rifle, and you out there, you got the drone up in there and you're shooting at it, Anna might have thought badly of you about it, using it for target practice.
That's what I told her. I said, Lisa, you know, she said, what, honey, what's wrong? I said, I'm sick about this drone. I just can't get it off my mind. I said, I've had more use out of it, what little bit of time I had it, if I just took the rifle out there to target practice with it. And that way I got something out of the deal. But, you know, she said, well, just, you know, you're not looking at this right. Just, you got to enjoy it for 8 minutes. And that was a good 8 minutes, right? I guess you're right. It's 8 whole minutes. Woo!
DOS with KO4NUE, which had the, you know, women don't think like men do. You know, that's the reason they got that book out that men are from Mars and women are from Venus or something like that. Let's see, I know what else I was going to tell you. Today is mine and Joy's anniversary. And don't ask me how many years we've been married. I think it's 23 or 24, but don't ask me because I don't know. that was our anniversary was today. And we didn't do anything but sit around the house. And, well, I did do something, too. I ate pumpkin pie and drank a cup of coffee.
How many pumpkin pies did she make?
Four or five of them, and we have one left in the freezer, and I got it out, or I asked her to get it out a couple of nights ago, and she got it out of the freezer and put it out and let it thaw out real good, and it was in the refrigerator, and I saw that aluminum foil, and I said, I know what I'm having, so I poured me a big old cup of coffee and got me a big old piece of pumpkin pie, and I sat down and had pumpkin pie and coffee. Now, last weekend, we went up to her sister's house for her family get-together, and she made a coconut custard pie, and I ate a piece of it up there, and her sister-in-law ate a piece, and somebody else got a small piece to take home with them, and nobody else wanted any, so I brought that thing home, and I polished it off, so... Yeah, she's going to have to quit making pies. I'm going to be as big around as my truck is wide.
Eat the last pie. Is that what I'm hearing?
Pumpkin or the last coconut custard?
Both of them.
Well, I finished off the coconut custard, but there's about a half of a pumpkin pie left, but it's you know, almost coffee time, so I'm liable to have about a quarter of a pie or so before I go to bed.
Man, I need some of that pie, Gary. Don't eat all of it. Save me a piece of it or something.
Heard in here when I said that. Told her I was going to have me about a quarter of it, and she said, watch it. So I don't guess I'll get a big piece of pie tonight. So, but I'll save you a piece of it. Either that or she's got the fixings in the freezer, and, you know, got the pie shells in the freezer and the other stuff in there in the cabinet, so I'll get her to make us another one.
Like a deal. That's a good deal. Man, I love her pies. Boy, they are something else. But anyway, that's about all that's going on here at Lake Wobegon or the farm out here. It's been a good couple of days. I'm tired. Just all the hubbub has kind of worn me down a little bit. But anyway, when you try the country ham, let me know. I'll be curious as to what you think, because we've been eating on it for a couple of days now, and we've really enjoyed it. But anyway, let me move on, Gary, and you tell Miss Joy we said hello. I'm starting to show my tired a little bit, but I'm glad you had a good Christmas and happy anniversary to both of you. I know it's a good thing to celebrate a wedding anniversary. So happy anniversary to both of you, and happy New Year, sir.
I'll talk to you again before New Year's, but I'll go ahead and wish you a happy New Year now. I've tried the ham. I had it for supper tonight. It was wonderful. I really enjoyed it. Joy liked it. Matter of fact, I got one piece left I'm going to have for breakfast in the morning, and we'll go from there. I did want to tell you one thing real quick, and I did not know this, but another ham told me a long time ago, a neighbor of mine. You know, a lot of us say, let my radio drop a minute. To let your radio drop, to get it out of transmit, all you've got to do is let off on that your microphone button and then mash it right back down. You don't have to sit there and let it cycle or anything like that. You just unkey and then key right back up, and that resets the timer in your radio, which I did not know, but like I said, I was told that by an Elmer. So I know it now. Other than that, you and Miss Anna have a great evening, what's left of it. Hope y'all have a wonderful day tomorrow, and hope to hear you on the net tomorrow evening. Lord willing, and the creeks don't rise. 7-3 there, young man. KO4NUE, KI4DOS.
Thank you for dropping by. Appreciate it. And I'm glad y'all had a good Christmas. And happy anniversary. Happy New Year. 73, sir. All right. Are there any additional stations at Alpha 3 Zulu that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Please call KO4NUE. And go ahead, recheck.
KO4NUE, KA3JCA would stick around for some comments.
How are you tonight, sir? You're it. Go ahead.
Before he gets off the radio, Gary and Joy, happy anniversary. My mom and dad celebrate well, their anniversary would have been tomorrow. So they were married at least, let's see here, I'm 63 years, so they were like, would have been together 68 years. So, but back to you, Chad there, I just wanted to let you know that I dug out some information from my cooking school when I went to culinary classes. A dash is a scant, S-C-A-N-T, which is an eighth of a teaspoon. A pinch is about a sixteenth of a teaspoon. A smidgen is 1/32 of a teaspoon. And a dollop usually refers to a small portion, about a tablespoon size.
Okay, well, that's good to know. So I am assuming that, because when we first married, me and Anna, she was, and I'm not saying anything negative, she couldn't cook. neither one of us could. So she would go up to Meemaw's, my grandmother, up the road, and, you know, teach me how to cook this recipe. And Meemaw just, you know, she's old school. She's not, you know, you add a leveled off teaspoon of this and a tablespoon of that. She wasn't like that. You just throw this in there, throw that in there, and then, you know, rub this between your hands and blow on it and then throw it in the pot and everything will be just fine. And Anna's just not that way. She can't, you know, she can't do that. I can't either. We need specific instructions. And sometimes with food, it just doesn't work out that way. And the Anna's cookies that we made that, you know, blistered the inside of my mouth, that's why we need specific instructions, because, you know, when we first married, we had an incident happen when we got back from our honeymoon. We like to call the kitchen on fire, trying to cook a meal. Both of us trying to cook the stupid chicken. And caught the curtains on fire in the kitchen and blew the safety plug out of the side of a pressure cooker. It was not a good thing. So we learned early on that we need specific instructions in the kitchen. And, you know, so I'm glad to know that a smidgen and a dollop, I can Google that and find out what that means now.
We just Google measuring a pinch, comma, dollop. It comes up to the website cuisineathome.com, and it talks about what I just said. So, but these cookies are very good, and so forth like that. You were using anise and not star anise, right?
Richard, I don't know. I'll have to go and look. But they were two very small bottles. And like I said, they're probably inch and a quarter high by half inch by half inch. It was not a large amount. And some anise seeds. But I don't know if it was star anise. I don't know. All I know is it, something happened in that oven, because I ate the dough raw, and it was absolutely delicious. It tasted like licorice. But something happened in that oven chemically. I don't know. But it was so hot. We had to call, and we had to throw the rest of them away. It was so hot.
Yeah, that's what I gotta tell you. It's a licorice flavor, and so forth like that. But we were at culinary school. We used that. But again, I've never, of course, our instructor made sure we didn't overuse it. So I can't recall of any incident where somebody overused an amount of portion like that, and the item was extremely hot. Ashley made some cookies for her uncle, and they're called Rice Crinkle cookies. Now, nothing special, basically just butter, sugar, brown sugar, an egg, some vanilla, and Rice Krispies, and some baking soda. Well, when she made the first batch, I was teaching her how to use my KitchenAid mixer, and I guess she used a little bit of it, but when she went to stir the Rice Krispies, she used a spoon, and of course, you know how when you add flour and Rice Krispies, that what happens is the dough gets kind of thick, and it's hard to stir with a spoon, and she didn't realize that, so when she put it together and baked them, they came out kind of real loose and crumbly, and the salt didn't get all mixed up, so you might get a bite of salt or baking soda. So we ended up having to toss that batch, but I showed her how to make the batch correctly, and she was able to look at it and see what I did, and she made the second batch, and she made about 140 cookies that are about the size of a 50-cent piece, and they turned out good. So and I'll also have to bake you, if you like pecan pie, I'll have to bake you a pecan pie one day.
I'll trade something off for you. I like pecan pie and like pumpkin pie and key lime pie. Rest of them, I don't care too. I'm not too much into sweets unless it's that. But I learned my lesson with you know, it's kind of embarrassing when you drop off a bunch of cookies to a friend using his mother's recipe, trying to be nice or whatever, and then 30 minutes later you got to call him and say, hey, don't eat the cookies. Because I came in and my daughter and Anna was in the kitchen, and Abby says, Daddy, did you take so-and-so the cookies? I said, yes, I did. And she says, she gave me this strange look. And she said, did you try the cookies? And I said, well, I tried them when the dough was raw. And I said, it was delicious. I thought they were great. And I said, come over here and eat one of these that's come out of the oven. And it was, it was unbelievably hot. I'm not exaggerating. That hot. And, you know, like I said, it's embarrassing when you try to do something nice and then you have to call them and say, don't eat the cookies. And first thing he said was, why, what's wrong with them?
I could imagine that. I was going to say, when you tasted the dough, and it was so sweet good, so there was nothing that you mixed in prior to the baking, so it had to be a chemical reaction during the baking process.
We kind of learned our lesson, or I learned a lesson with this. We had an incident happen out here at the house. You know, we got a bunch of chickens, and sometimes we have a surplus of eggs. And for some reason, I don't know why, sometimes we get a couple of hens that will peck the eggs. I don't know if it's some kind of disorder or what, but they'll destroy the eggs. They'll just move from nest to nest and destroy the eggs. So Dad got these fake eggs. It's made out of limestone. I mean, they're hard, you know. And we got some friends came over, and I was going to send them home with some eggs. And I got wasn't paying attention, and got a couple of the limestone eggs mixed in with the regular eggs and sent them home. And it wasn't about an hour later, she called and she said, what's wrong with these eggs? And I said, what do you mean, what's wrong with the eggs? And she said, it doesn't matter what I do, I can't break it. My husband hit it with a hammer and it still won't break.
Too funny. I don't know if you were out here the other day. We were talking, Shade and I were talking about how Tom, N0TR, got, he talks about his girls that he adopted, and he gets the eggs and so forth like that. Well, I told Sally I'm looking at getting a couple of birds to have eggs here at the house, but I'm thinking about after the winter, like the springtime, I thought about getting like 25 chickens. They're meat chickens that will mature in, like, you could get the type that matures in 8 weeks, and then there's the bird that matures in 12 weeks. You feed them and water them and move them in the backyard, then you butcher them, then you place them in the freezer. So with the price of chicken and meat going up, I want to do that so bad. So, and I was going to say something to go somewhere with that. Oh, I know where I was going with that. I'm sorry. Lost my train of thought there for a second, but we were talking about the eggs, and I guess some HOAs don't let you have chicken because they classify it as farm animals. And so we talked about he got some quails, and the quail eggs, you need like three of those eggs to match one egg from a chicken. So, and then of course quail meat's good too, so if you want to eat quail versus chicken, you can always slaughter the quail. KA3JCA.
NUE NCS for the Blue Ridge 2 meter net. So years ago, Richard, we used to be in the, you know, we still have goats and chickens out here, but we used to drink the milk and we'd raise goats to butcher, and we'd butcher the chickens and eggs and everything that comes along with that, you know. We had a grain mill. I bought a hand-power grain mill, and we ground our own cornmeal and flour and things like that, you know. So I mean, we kind of got into it. We had to get the veterinarian out here and test all of the nanny goats, because if you sell milk, you have to test for brucellosis and tuberculosis before you can sell the milk. And we'd sell it by the quart. And we had two mothers, human mothers, in the area that had infants that could not tolerate their mother's milk, and struggled with, you know, baby formula. Well, goat's milk is naturally homogenized, and it's actually a, you know, there's no digestion needs to take place, you know, other than, you know, just basic breaking it down, because it's naturally homogenized. So we just kind of found ourselves in a situation where the two human mothers that was buying milk from us for their infants, we just had to keep milking to help the infants out. And we did that for some time. But we kept a couple of cats out in the barn, and they'd just line up. I mean, they'd see us coming. And we'd milk the nannies, and we'd squirt some milk over there on the cat's face, you know. And I just remember the kids just loving that, you know, because the cats were their pets, and the chickens too, and, you know, the whole butchering of the goats thing, that it didn't bother me that much. The boys, they didn't. They kind of got in a little situation with the goats one year, trying to, you know, teach them the proper way to butcher. So we kind of quit doing it after that. But, you know, we did pretty good. I mean, it's a lot of hard work, but it's very rewarding, because it's quality, you know. It's different than what you buy on the shelf, you know. You can tell the difference, you know what I mean.
That's one thing I've never tried was goat's milk. I've had goat cheese before. And, of course, when I grew up, I was into hunting squirrels and like I said, dove and rabbit and what else there? Quail, stuff like that. In Florida, I never got around to do it. I had a few friends that had some farms out there, and they had boars down there. It's pretty much open season year round out there to go down and take your canned gun and go shoot some boar and so forth like that, come back with one or two pigs there and put them on the pit. But I never got a chance to do that while I was down there. Used to deer hunt. I love that. So, I want to get back into it. I'm thinking about seeing if there's a way I could get my lifetime license here from DNREC. And I think they have stands for handicapped people and stuff like that. Just find somebody that likes to hunt and go out and hunt and get me a couple of deer.
I never was into deer hunting, Richard. This is KO4NUE with KA3JCA. I didn't like it. We used to do a lot of hog hunting, though. And dove season, we could hunt doves a lot. I do remember hunting quail when I was real little with Dad. I don't think there's any quail around here anymore. But we had an old bird dog named Kaiser. And, my little bitty thing to struggle to keep up with Daddy. But I do remember Kaiser. You know, he was a, I think he was some type of setter. He was black and white spotted. And he'd lock up and point. And, boy, that's the prettiest thing. And Dad shoot, he'd flush the covey out. And he'd, sometimes he'd get two of them. And he'd tell Kaiser, hunt dead. And the boy, he'd go to sniffing around, and, you know, he'd usually point on the bird after, you know, Dad shot it. But I just the memories. I mean, we don't do that much out here. I mean, we do collect the eggs, and we do keep goats out here. But I can't. It's hard to do anything with the meat or the milk when you have a billy in the pasture. That just makes the cheese really strong. It makes the milk really strong. If you can separate the billies and keep them from the nannies, everything just gets real mild. But we just don't have a way to separate billies. And it's just so strong, you just about can't tolerate it. But, I mean, if you get hungry enough, you can. But it took us a while to figure that out.
To that there. So, I know Ashley keeps asking me, she wants to try a rack of lamb. So I'll have to buy some of that from the butcher shop and cook her one up, so forth like that. So, but I heard you and Gary talking earlier about the recipe of the smidge and the dollop, but I just thought it was hilarious because I learned that in culinary school. So you can pass that on to Miss Anna. You know, it's all trial and error in the kitchen there. And I will. I'll have to make you a pumpkin pie and a pecan pie one day and so forth like that. I do have a recipe for a no-bake Florida key lime, which is the Florida key lime itself. It's not lime juice. You buy the Florida key lime and you make a key lime pie, and boy, is it awesome. So it's tart, and so it'll pucker your jaw up there when you take a bite. KA3JCA, we'll finish up there and let you have it back, sir.
Well, I appreciate you dropping by. I hope you had a good Christmas, and have a happy new year to you. And tell hello to Miss Ashley and Sally. All right, with that, are there any additional stations that would like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Please call KO4NUE.
Well, the guy's going to make a comment.
Go ahead.
Talking about the chickens and all. Up here where I live anymore, due to the way the bear situation is, it's about impossible to even have any kind of chickens up here anymore. Wasn't that way back when my dad grew up here, but with all these other wild animals around now? Because my cousin up above here tried to have chickens for a few years, and there's a mama bear and her cubs that keeps breaking into his pen up there to eat his chicken feed, and then they also kill and sometimes eat the chickens, and you know all that stuff's very, very expensive. He tried it for 2 or 3 years, and he finally gave up. The old mama bear wouldn't let him keep any feed up there and wouldn't let him keep any chickens either. On top of that up there, he was just throwing his money away for the bear to consume. And the other thing I got, I'm just curious to know, you was talking about your drone. What frequency does it use? You and Mandel, you were talking to Mandel about that. He's got a drone that he got from Walmart. And maybe you two together can learn how to use a drone together. Back to you, KI4LCI.
So here's what I learned out of all this, Andy, is that, and I'm sure there's a lot more to learn, and I'm not, I don't know that much about drones, but the 8 minutes I got to fly mine, I learned that that's something that I don't think a drone that you buy from Walmart is going to be a good experience because it was underpowered, no trim settings. You couldn't compensate for any kind of trim or offsets, which means you had to constantly fight the controller to keep it stable, which, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, a big learning curve there. And I suspect what happened was that because it was so underpowered, that when it got in the updraft of where the wood stove is or the chimney, it was just not able to get out of that vortex, not a vortex, but just that column of warm air. And it took it to an altitude that, I mean, it just went crazy. It just, when I went over the chimney, it just went straight up. And I don't know, it got so high that I think it got into some kind of higher elevation of atmospherics or wind or whatever you want to call it. And at that point, there's nothing I could do. I just couldn't power through it. But it, like I said, due north, and it's about 200 to 300 feet, maybe. I'm not good at judging elevation, but it was gone, and there was nothing I could do. I was just so disheartened. I come back in the house, and I just bought a brand new pack of Duracell batteries, and I just put 3 new batteries in the controller, and I came to the house, and I said, "Well, I don't guess I get to keep my batteries." So I just took the batteries out of the controller and just laid it on the table. And I got my batteries back, and I got 8 minutes of flight time. That's gotta be world record.
Kendall's got one, and I remember him telling me a lot of stuff in his living room over there trying to learn how to use it, and whether he's done any more with it or not, I don't know. One he got from Walmart, but I made the suggestion that what you was going to do with that repeat of yours over there about using any kind of, if there was any damage done to any, keep a check on some of these repeater antennas and all, and whether he ever learned how to use it or not, I don't know. So he's got one too, but he hadn't done much with his either. I've just had the curiosity to know what frequency they would use. You know, some are allowed for anybody to use, and of course, and this is way back, on amateur radio in the 6 meter band, where there was frequencies that you could use, but I got no clue what those frequencies are, and to the others that's talking about the chickens, you better not be up in a place like up here where you got plenty of bear running around. Because odds are, you won't be successful in having any chickens.
Well, it's a lot of work. And, the you know, predators, they're always trying to, you know, sneak a chicken out of the pasture. I remember over the years, we had a hawk come through. And we think killed just to be killing. Clip the neck and move on to the next one. And, you know, you go down there and see, you know, 15, 20 chickens dead. I mean, that gets you angry really quick. So, but we've got 2 great Pyrenees down there in the pasture, and they don't put up with no garbage. I mean, they keep it, they run that pasture like a tight ship, you know. Dad and I put some game cameras down there last year just to kind of see what's going on. And they patrol that, I say patrol, but they walk around that fence about every hour. And we got a male and female in there, and they take turns. One time the female will walk it, and then about an hour later the male will walk it, and they walk it in opposite directions. Just about like clockwork. It's amazing to, you know, you don't think all that's going on down there. But when, like I said, we put the game cameras up, you just thought, hey, they got this figured out, you know. And it's just kind of funny to see them work that pasture like that. And they own it. I can tell you right now, they own it.
KI4LCI5D. Well, that's kind of how these bears are up here. When my cousin Randy up here was trying to have those chickens up here, you know, he has to work a job. He couldn't stay there all the time. And the last time when they got up here and these chickens, they didn't only, like I say, kill these chickens and eat the feed for that. They got his dog. He had a small dog and done about $300 worth of damage to him, to his dog there. It was. It was $3,000 worth of damage.
UE with KI4LZI. Now that's hard to take. That's a lot of money. But that article up here somewhere, he goes to a little farm store here and up the road here in Campobello, and they got some magazines and things in there. Well, he brought some of the article back where 8 coyotes jumped on a Great Pyrenees on guard duty, and the Pyrenees killed 6 of them, and but you know, damaged the dog. The dog was, you know, I had to take it to the vet and get it you know, fixed up. Cut its ear, pulled its ear away from, you know, its flesh, and then damaged the tail. But he got 6 of them. So I mean, that'll tell you something there. They are there's something else to watch over the pasture. And you know, snakes, cats, rats, raccoons, birds. Dad put a bunch of bluebird boxes on the fence post years ago along the pasture. And they wouldn't even let the bluebirds come in the bluebird house. They'd stand up on the post and push on it and keep the mother so aggravated that she wouldn't nest there. So we don't put no bluebird boxes anywhere near the pasture because dogs just ain't gonna have it. But they don't miss a trick. I mean, they don't miss anything. They are on it.
LZI, we got the coyotes up here too, but he kept trying up there with those chickens, but he pretty much has, due to the expense and the fact that mama bear kept coming and getting everything and eating the feed and getting the chickens, killing it and eating them, he pretty much had to give up on it. Some of these wild animals like that, you know, can get in there, because he had these chickens in a pen, but you know how big a bear is. The bear gets in there in the pen where the chickens are still. So it's hard to win in a case where you're dealing with wild bears.
No, we've never had to deal with bears down here. There's been a couple of them passed through over the years, but nothing. You know, nothing destructive. But anyway, well, listen, Andy, I'm on try to close the net down. I'm showing my tire. Been showing it here for a little while, so not trying to be rude or anything, but I'm trying to get me a little bit of rest.
But I hope you had a good Christmas and a happy New Year. Tell your mother and sister I said hello. And hope all is well with y'all. 73, Andy. All right, any additional stations that'd like to check into the Blue Ridge 2-meter net, please call KO4NUE.
UE. Chad, you got room for one more. K4ROW, Richard in Greenville. Negative and negative.
Richard, I got you in the log. K4ROW. Happy New Year to you, Richard. And hope you had a good Christmas, sir. All right, with that, have I missed anyone for comments or ragged you? Please call KO4NUE.
QEKD2BG. Trying to figure out what happened to that drone. It looks like we got two or three competing hypotheses. It's possible that when the drone hit the updraft, it simply flew out of range of the radio signal. You know, cheap-ass Walmart drone. More likely, as you said, it caught a, because we've had wind gusts around here recently, you know, 30 or 40 knot wind gusts. It caught one of them and just kept blowing in whatever direction it was going. Because it's too overpowered, dude. It's insufficiently powerful to fight the updraft or the wind. Yeah, the interfering radio signal, that's possible, too. I remember radio-controlled aircraft used to have little flags, or like a red, a green, or a blue, or a yellow flag, which indicates what frequency they're on. Almost in the middle of the citizens band. It was like 27 megahertz, 49-something megahertz, 72 megahertz. There's not many of them. There might not be much more than three or four of them. So, but, oh well, you know, as long as you got your 8 minutes of fun out of the drone, I guess that's probably enough.
So here's what I think happened. Looking back, you know, hindsight's always 20/20, right? So I do remember when I went over the chimney, it stayed in that column of air for a while. Well, for seemed like a long time. And I just, you know, I'd hit, you know, try to push through it, and it just, I don't think it had enough power to get through that column of warm air. And I think eventually, I think you're right, eventually what happened was it just got so high that it just got out of range. And I lost, you know, at that point. You know, I just, it's a horrible feeling to just sit back and watch something happening. And you know that it's just not right. You know, it's just, this is all wrong. And there's absolutely nothing you can do to stop it. You just, you know, there's a part of you that says, hey, just turn your head away, don't watch it. But, you know, that never works, right? You have to watch it just unfold second by second. And I just remember it was just, I just dropped my head and then, you know, dropped the controller down to my side and just, you know, like a little whipped puppy. And every now and then, I even came back in the house to, you know, stood up on the porch and I took one last look and all I could see was a little bitty dot way out due north. I said, oh well, nothing I can do about it now. And for a brief second I thought about, well, maybe I need to get in the truck and go try to run it down, but ain't no way. No way I'd find it. So hey, there's nothing I could do. Nothing.
Out of power, and the thing is so light that the wind just blows it. You know, it's even without lift from the rotors, it's light enough that the breeze will just take it. But yeah, I remember when I used to watch, there was this one field we'd go out to watch people play with model aircraft. And yeah, you know, take note of what color flag they're flying. If they have a red flag on their plane, don't use the red frequency. Or they, you know, pick one of the others. So you had to have, I guess at that time they were crystal controlled or whatever they were. But yeah, you know, or some combination of these things could have happened. It flew out of radio range after it hit the updraft, you know, could be a combination of things. But yeah, you know, too bad about that.